Hey, welcome. Great to have you here with us today. If we haven't met before, my name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at C3, and I want to welcome you in whichever venue you're in today. And I want to just kind of bring you up to speed. We are in week 3 of a series that we're calling Next Steps, and we're going to continue it through the rest of this month. And I want to start off today by kind of telling you a true story. If you're a regular C3er, you know that I've probably said before in the past that I grew up in church, which again, unless you're a church person, that just sounds really weird, doesn't it? It's like, I grew up in the church. I slept in the baptismal, right? But that's not, but what that means is that like my folks, my family would take me to church on Sunday morning. We also had Sunday night church and we had Wednesday night and all that kind of stuff. So I mean, I was like there all the time. And what's interesting is that as I began to grow from a kid into a teenager, sometime around probably age 16, 17, 18, I really started connecting more into the youth group. And there was a couple there, a married couple, that were probably at the time, they're in their 50s, and the name was Bob and Carol Burton. And I'll never forget these guys. They were volunteers in the youth ministry. And they just poured into me and into different ones in the youth group that I was friends with. They probably knew that we were not doing the right things. And they kind of came in and started pouring into our life. And they not only poured in our life in the youth group, but they actually took an interest in us and took us, invited us over to their home oftentimes, play games, to talk, to whatever. They had a cabin up in the hills. We would go up there. They'd invite us up there and do snowmobiling and stuff. Just really poured into us. And I look back on my life, and I see people like that that were serving in the church that really just impacted me. And I want you to stop and think for a minute. Think about your life. You may not be a follower of Christ. You may be here exploring, and we welcome you, because those around you that have already come into relationship with Christ, we've all been there too. We've all been exploring at some point. So we're glad that you are here today. But I just want you to look, whether you're a follower of Christ or not, think back on your life for just a moment. Who are people in your life that really poured into you, that really made a difference in you? I bet you if you stop to think about it, there's going to be some names. Maybe a teacher at school, maybe some youth pastor, maybe a pastor, maybe somebody else, you know, a family member. But who is it that's poured into you? Because sometimes I think we need to just contact them if they're still alive and just say thank you. Thank you for what they've done and pouring into us. Today, we're going to talk about something that is probably not really something exciting that you would want to talk about. You're like, can we just skip this one and go to next week's message? I mean, that's probably what some of you are going to be thinking. But here's what we're talking about today. Today, we're talking about that God has called this church. God has called us to have a mission corporately. But in light of that, I want to encourage you to go, God, in light of what our mission is corporately as a church, where am I to be individually? Where can I kind of plug in into the ministry of being part of what's going on around here to help people become more and better followers of Jesus Christ? God, how can I do that? How can I make that happen? Because here's what happens. What we have done and what we always strive to do is we try to create environments. This is what C3 does. We create environments for babies, for preschool, for elementary, for youth, for adults. So we create environments, we staff environments, and then we involve people in the environments. And that's what this church is about, is trying to have environments where kids on their level can understand Jesus, where youth on their level can understand Jesus, where adults on our level can understand Jesus and come to know him and grow in him. And what's interesting is, again, that it takes something that's called serving. And I want to show you an interesting passage in Scripture. It's in Acts chapter 6. Now, before I read it, I want to kind of preface the whole thing. So if you don't know much about the Bible, the back part of the Bible is called the New Testament. And right at the very beginning of the New Testament is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These four guys wrote about the same 3-year period of this one Jewish carpenter, Jesus. And they wrote about all the things that he did and said and his stories and his miracles and everything. And they wrote this down so that future generations like you and I can have this information. And one of the things that we see in these four gospels, gospel means good news, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what these four guys were writing. What happened is we know that in each of them, they talk about Jesus' death on the cross and rising again. And then 40 days later, ascending to heaven, leaving the planet. And then right after these four gospels, we have another book called Acts. And what Acts is Acts is about now that Jesus has died, rose again, and left the planet, now how is the early church forming? And as the early church was forming, there was some problems, you can imagine. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look in Acts chapter 6. And here's what it says. It says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12, meaning the 12 disciples, gathered all the other disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and they will give our attention. Then we will give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip and then Ringo and all those other guys, okay? So They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests, this is funny to me, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. What were they doing before? Right? I mean, some of you are looking at this going, yeah, God, just save our pastors. I mean, that's what happened. That's basically what's going on. So let me just kind of break it down and kind of show you what's happening. So after Jesus left the planet, they're trying to get the early church together. And one of the things they did is they gave food to widows. And there's two different groups of widows. And this group of widows got more food than this one. And so all of a sudden they're coming to the 12 disciples going, hey guys, this isn't fair. These guys are getting more food and these widows over here are not. You guys need to figure out something. You got to make it better. They go, whoa, time out. The 12 disciples go, wait a minute. This is not what we're about. Because we, the 12, we were with Jesus the whole time he was on the earth. In his earthly ministry, those 3 years of his earthly ministry, we were with him the whole time. We saw what he did. We heard his teachings. We saw the miracles. It's not secondhand. We were there. We experienced everything. We saw him die. We saw him rise again. And because we were with him the whole time, that means that we are uniquely qualified to now not be called disciples, but instead be called apostles, because we were with him that whole time. And apostle means we're going to go out and tell the world, not what we heard from other people, what we saw and heard ourselves, because we were there. That's what we are to do. We are to go preach and tell the world what the 12 of us saw and experienced. Somebody else can take care of this food thing. So here's what we're going to say. We want you to figure out 7 people, pick out the 7 people, and we're going to lay hands on, we're going to pray, and they're going to do it. And all of a sudden, they go, that's a great idea. And all of a sudden, you see where people are stepping into serving the body of Christ. And these 7 people were overseeing probably a team to make sure that every day that these two different groups of widows would get the same amount of food. Because, you know, let's be honest, you don't want to, you know, really, you know, never mind, I shouldn't say that. You don't want a really heavy widow over here and a really skinny one over here. You want them to be even, right? Right? That's what you want. I mean, that just makes sense. So you want everybody to be the same shape or whatever. So that's what they did. And it just worked out perfectly and everybody was happy, right? Everybody was happy about what happened at that point. But can I tell you something? Because sometimes we don't realize this. And if you're here exploring the claims of Christ, we're so glad you're here, especially on a holiday weekend. Wow, that's amazing. Thank you for being here today. But here's the thing. If you call yourself a Christian, a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, when you say yes to Jesus' invitation to salvation, that invitation of salvation also comes with an invitation to serve. They're the exact same. So often we go, I will accept the invitation to be forgiven. So therefore, I can live my life the way I want, and when I die, I've got my fire insurance right here to make sure that I don't go to hell, that I get to go to heaven. And I'm going to tell you, that is not what that means. When we say yes to Jesus and accept what he did on the cross when he died for our sins and rose again, all of a sudden he's saying, this forgiveness is for you. So you don't have to pay for all eternity your sins. You can accept and come into relationship with me. And part of coming into relationship with me means that you are on mission with me, Jesus Christ. My mission, Jesus Christ says, my mission is to seek and save the lost, to help other people. You, by saying yes to me and accepting my forgiveness, also means that you are going to be part of the mission of me and you are going to serve. Woo! But do we? Do we? Oh, some do, some don't. Let me give you something for your notes. A non-serving Christian is a contradiction in terms. A non-serving Christian is a contradiction in terms. I want you to let that sink that in for a minute. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, a Christian, can I tell you, if you are not serving, there's something out of whack here. Something isn't right. This isn't God's plan, that we just say yes to him and we just step back and do whatever we want and we think we are ready, just whenever we die, we just get to go to heaven. He's going, no, there's more. Because if you're still alive, I want you to do something. There's something in this life. There's something. I want you to still do something. But so often, oh, no, we just don't want to do that. In fact, let me give you something else for your notes. Most of the time, here's what happens. Most of the time, we're more interested in serve us than serving. I love it when people serve us. Oh, my goodness. I love it when they get me a great parking spot. They give me a good seat in one of the venues. They give me some good coffee and maybe some donut holes or whatever. I love it when they do that. But I'm not interested in serving. Whew. Is that you? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? But you're like going, but I'm not going to serve. You know, maybe when I was younger, I served. Or some of you, listen. Let me step on some toes for a minute. Here we go. If you're older, well, I used to serve back when I was younger, but that's for younger people now to serve, or I'm too old to serve. Can I remind you of something? Moses wasn't called up to serve until he was 80 years old. I'm going to tell you, if you're 80 and above and you think, oh, no, I don't need to serve anywhere. I don't need anything. Can I just remind you of Moses? That God had a plan for him, and it didn't start until the guy was 80 years old. He's thinking, I've got my pension. I'm going to just sit back and relax. It's going to be awesome. Didn't work that way. He had to go back and say, can you let my people go? And then he had to lead them out, you know, and they're just biting them and just a mess of, you know, sometimes people are like, I know it's not you, it's those other people, but sometimes that's the way it happens, right? See, God calls us to serve. And sometimes when we don't, it hurts the body of Christ. Let me give you an example. Let's say tonight, your house catches fire. And let's say I'm not a pastor, I'm a fireman. In fact, I'm the lead fireman. And so I come in the middle of the night, I get the call, and me and my guys come out in the fire truck. And I'm sure if you're a fireman, this is probably what you do. When you first get there, you kind of just quickly assess the situation to see what you need to do. But let's say I come, and I'm in charge, and I'm assessing the situation. And instead of doing it in like 30 seconds or a minute, I'm taking like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And you as the owner coming running over to me, do something. Get the hose out. Start spraying. Some of my family are in there. Get the dog out. But I mean, all of a sudden you're like, do something. And yet, people who are far from God every week are coming here to explore Christ. People who are in a relationship with God that need to grow and mature, we don't care about them. Somebody else will do it. Somebody else will take care of that. Somebody else will do it. There's always somebody else. It's so easy to say somebody else and point your fingers at everybody else, but the reality is everybody else is pointing their fingers at you because to them, you're somebody else. At some point, somebody needs to be part of what we are to do. And yet sometimes we don't want to. We love to be served. Ooh, man, that's fun. but we don't like to serve others. We just don't want to do that. And then some of you are thinking things like this, and I'll put it in your notes. Aren't the pastors the one to do the ministry? I mean, come on. I mean, aren't the pastors the one to do the ministry? Which is just kind of hilarious. I want you to stop and think about this. Because think about this. We have, I don't know, maybe six pastors here. If the six pastors were to do the work of the ministry, and we did all the work, just think about this. We would come on Sunday morning, get everything ready. We would, the six of us, be playing in each of all the bands. I don't play anything, so that's going to be really interesting. But we all are playing in the bands in the different venues. We're all doing the tech for the bands, for everything. Then we have to quickly go over to all the kids' rooms, and all the kids' rooms, we've got to try to do all the kids' rooms, then all the youth rooms, and so teach them and all that kind of stuff, and then teach in here, and then be the greeters, and be the coffee makers, and be the security team, and be the medical team, and on and on and on and on and on. I'm going to tell you, with what, six of us? We'll probably have a whopping church of about 20 people, because we can't handle that. But that's always God's point. God's going, I want you to be part of the body of Christ. I want you to be part of the mission of what God's mission is. God says, I want you to be a part of it. I'm inviting you. I'm God. I can do whatever I want, but I choose to use you. I want to have you be part of my mission. I want you to be part of what I'm doing. I want you to be part of my story. I want to use you, is what God is saying to us. And when you stop and realize that the God of the universe wants you and I to be part of what he's about, whew, man, that is humbling when you stop to think about that. It's humbling. See, according to the Bible, a pastor's job is to equip the members for ministry. Let me give you a verse. In Ephesians 4, take a look at this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, he gave them to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be what? Built up. See, God in his infinite wisdom says, look, these pastors can't do it on their own. They need to equip others to do it, to be able to do the ministry of God. And that's where we come in. That's where we go, yes, God, I am part of what you want me to do. I want to be a part of your mission. This is what I am about. As a follower of Jesus Christ, when you offer me forgiveness, you're also offering me service. Do we answer both parts of that calling? Or do we not? Let me tell you a story, true story. Probably about 3 years ago, my wife and I and my daughter, we went up to Leavenworth for a weekend or something. I can't remember what, but we were up there, and literally we got to their hotel that we had, and within a half hour of getting there, I hardly ever get sick, but I got deathly sick. All of a sudden, I got everything spinning. I'm nauseated. I'm throwing up. I've got a gut-wrenching pain in my side, and I'm like, what is going on? And it was just miserable. I just went through the whole weekend so that they could still do stuff, but I just basically did not leave the room, and it was just miserable. Long story short, it found out that it was a gallbladder issue. So hold on to that story. I'm going to tell you another story. I'm going to put them together. About 4 years ago, my wife and I were cleaning out some stuff in our garage, and she was lifting something really heavy. It was summertime, and I had open-toed shoes, sandals, and she was having something heavy, and she accidentally dropped it right on my big toe. And I'm going to tell you, there is pain like I've never had before. She broke my toe, but I ended up realizing my toe wasn't broken, but my toenail went boop. Just kind of went off, and oh my God, the pain. Can I tell you, listen, take both of these stories. Whether it's a really hurt toe or a gallbladder, or maybe you've had something like that, another health, something like that. But whatever it is, you know what happens? All of a sudden, your entire body just stops. You know, instead of doing what you were doing, like cleaning out the garage or having fun with the family, you're just sitting there going, ah, it just hurts, right? And your whole body just stops. And your whole body is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. And can I tell you, That's the exact same thing when it comes to the body of Christ. When it comes to the body of Christ, it talks about that we are all part of the body of Christ, and we are to serve. That's part of what being of the body of Christ is. We serve one another to equip and to grow the body of Christ. And when we do not, can I tell you, when you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, but you do not do that, it's a contradiction in terms, obviously, right? Non-Christian serving. But when you are not doing that, it's like you're the big toe or you're the gallbladder. You're the thing. And all of a sudden, the body isn't as healthy as it could be. When you are not serving, all of a sudden, the body is not as healthy as it could be. The church body is not as healthy. There are other people that could have been saved or could have been built up in the relationship with God, and they're not, because you are not part of the body of Christ. Because all of a sudden, that one toe is hurting, and it hurts everything. You're hurting the body of Christ. Do you know what, at the very end, when Jesus comes back, he's going to look to us and either say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," or he's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Which do you want him to say? Because it's all about serving. Once we come into relationship with God, the same calling is also calling of servants. Well done, good and faithful servant. Will he say that to you? Or will he not? You see, so often, churches are just full of people that are members of the church. But they don't serve anywhere in most churches. They don't. And if we allow that to happen here, listen. If we allow that to happen here, there will come a time over time that where those that are not serving anywhere, you're not going to complain that people aren't getting saved. You're not going to complain that people aren't getting baptized, but you'll complain that you're not being catered to. And I'm going to tell you, that is not what the church is about. Because other churches may be that way, but I'm going to tell you, this church is trying to always be on mission to reach more and better followers of Jesus Christ. So we don't really have membership. We don't call it membership. We call it partnership. Because we want you to partner with the mission of what we're about and to serve and to help the body of Christ here at C3 grow and to mature and have people come to know Jesus Christ. You see, this is what God has called you and I to do. He's given us gifts, talents, and abilities. Every single one of us has given gift, talents, and abilities. And God has given you something unique that maybe other people haven't had. What is it that God has given you that's gifts, talents, or abilities that you can do, that you could make a ministry or help people to come to know Jesus through your skills, through your abilities? Let me give you something for your notes. We actually believe that people spend eternity somewhere. We actually believe that. We actually believe that somewhere everybody's going to spend eternity. We actually believe that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And this life is not a game. This is not a game. We actually believe that Jesus Christ, listen, we actually believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to God the Father. Why do we believe that? Because Jesus said it in Scripture. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Only me. I'm the gate. That's what he's saying. I'm the only one. We actually believe that. So consequently, here's the thing. We believe that we have the most important mission in the whole world, and it will take all of us. It will take all of us to be engaged. Well, Mark, what's our mission? Well, I've already mentioned it a couple times, and it's on the wall in some of these rooms. Here it is. The mission of C3 is this. Is to make more and better followers of Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? More means new. Again, you're here on a holiday weekend. You're maybe exploring Christ, seeing about the claims of Christ. And we're glad you're here. Because more means new people coming to know Jesus. Better means those who've come to know Jesus, but now to grow in their relationship with you, to take their next steps. For some of you, for many of you probably, your next step may be serving. Maybe serving somewhere in the church or somewhere outside the church at one of our partnerships that we have around this community. This is how we do it here at C3. We're on mission. Now, some of you, listen, some of you may ask this question. Mark, I'm here and I'm not even a I'm just exploring Christ. I'm not a Christian yet. I'm just kind of exploring Christ. I'm just kind of seeing if he really is who he says he is, if he really loves me, cares for me, and all that stuff. I'm just checking it out. But Mark, here's the thing. While I'm checking out God to see if it's real, I'd like to serve. But I'm not even Christian yet. Can I serve? Yes, you can. Here's why. Because you can belong before you believe. And let me give you a little story in Scripture. When you look in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Jesus started his earthly ministry, what's interesting is that he would oftentimes go up to these guys. When he first met Peter, James, and John, three guys that would become his disciples, he stopped and he met them and he said, hey, and they had a great fishing business. And he says, hey, leave that and come follow me and be my disciples. And they didn't even know who he was. They just thought he was a new teacher, a new rabbi. They didn't know he was the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah. They didn't know that. They just thought he was a new teacher. And yet here, they were able to belong and be called disciples before they even knew who Jesus was. So I think if Jesus allows that, I think we can allow that too. So if you are here exploring and you want to be a, you know, don't know Christ yet, but you're just kind of exploring and stuff and you want to be involved, we welcome you. You can belong before you believe because that's what the disciples did. I just hope and wish that we could get the Christians to do that, right? That'd be awesome. If we get the Christians to actually serve, that'd be amazing. But somehow along the line, the church world has got to the point where church is kind of like what we talked about last week. We just go to church. And there for an hour. Last week we talked about, no, we don't just go to church. We looked at it, Scripture talks about we are planted in the house of God. We put down roots. We grow. We mature. We're part of the mission. That's what we talked about last week. But somehow in the church world, it's got to the point to where, no, we just go to church once a month or maybe twice a month if it's good for an hour. And then we just leave and just do whatever we want. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ did not die and rise again so that you could just pretend to say you have a relationship with him and not live any different. And you're just saying, I got my fire insurance. So when I die, I get to go to heaven. I don't have to go to hell. And God's going, that's not how that works. It's a relationship. It's forgiveness, a relationship. And here's the thing. If you're regular C3, we talk about this often. If Jesus is who he says he is, and if he is the Son of God, if he died and he rose again, proving that he can conquer death and hell and that he is the Son of God, if that is true, then we should reorient everything around the person of Jesus Christ, everything in our life around the person of Jesus Christ, our marriage, how we raise our kids, our finances, our work ethics, everything. We should do this. But if he isn't who he says he is, you do what you want. It's amazing when you stop to think about this. And then we look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter, it's an interesting book. You got to read it. He writes about the priesthood of believers. But when he talks about the priesthood of believers, he never uses laity and clergy. He's saying the priesthood of believers is everybody that is a follower of Jesus Christ is clergy. Do you know what that means? I want you to stop and think about this. That means if you work at Hanford, you are a minister at Hanford. If you work at Walmart, you are ministering to people at Walmart, the employees, whatever. If you are a student, you are a minister to your school or your college. Whew. That changes everything. All of a sudden, we're all, once we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we all are to be ministers. Every single one of us. Every one of us. We are to be ministers. Let me give you an example of somebody in our church. There's a guy named Shane in our church that owns a Perfection Tire over in Pasco. And every time I go over to Shane's place, he has a whiteboard there. And on his whiteboard, he has a verse out of the Bible, something about Jesus, and maybe some other little quotes and stuff about Jesus. And he has it there for his employees and his customers to see. He's also playing Christian music the whole time. And over time of hiring some of his workers, his guys that work on cars, over time, some of those guys have come to know Jesus. Shane is a guy that gets it. Shane is a guy that is actually serving and being a minister in his business. That's crazy. That's amazing, but that's what God's called us to. Because all of us, when we come into relationship with Jesus Christ, we all then at that point becomes ministers. And some of you that work at Hanford or school, does that mean I have to stand up and preach? I don't think they're going to want me to do that at Hanford. I can't do that. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is you reorient everything around the person of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden people come up to you and go, you know, you're different. You're different than these other ones. What's different about you? And you begin to share what's different about you and why. Or maybe you get to have coffee or lunch with some of them and talk about you know, what you learned at church or invite them to church and stuff, and you're just being salt and light. See, that is where we minister in our surroundings on the other days of the week when we're not here. We are ministers. That's what God calls us. Let me give you something for your notes. Church is a verb. It's not a noun. Again, we talked about that last week. The building is just a building. That's a noun. The church is us. It's people. And we are to verb, to move, to have action, to serve. This is what God has called us. Can I tell you what's going to happen next week? Next week, here's what's going to happen. Next weekend, there will be a lady that on Saturday night will ask her husband once again to come to church with her. And he will finally say, fine, I will go with you tomorrow this one time. And all of a sudden, she's going to get ecstatic. And so the next morning, Sunday morning, she's going to get up early. And she's going to make sure that her kids are dressed and ready for church so that there's no fighting or anything and so that they're all ready. But he's going to be sleeping in late because he really doesn't want to go. But he's going to see, oh, everybody's up and ready, so I better get up. So he gets up, gets ready. And on the drive in, he doesn't know this, but she's sitting next to him and she's praying quietly inside. And she says, God, please let my little daughter's Sunday school kids class have enough workers in there today. Because if they got a bunch of kids and only one worker, I'm telling you, if they only have one volunteer in there, my husband's going to go ballistic. And when we drop my son off at the mix for the youth, let them know his name and invite him in and get him going. And let him be glad to go in there so my husband will see that. And let the greeters greet my husband and talk and be friendly to him. And help Mark to finally hit one out of the park and do a great job, right? And help the bands to really play the right songs and sing it in the right key and all that kind of stuff. And really, you know, really, here's really what she's saying. Here's really what she's praying. She's really praying this, that hundreds of people will partner with her to help her husband come to know Jesus. And let's pretend her husband is one of your people too. Maybe it's your son. Maybe it's your father. Maybe it's your brother. If you had a loved one that you invited to church, what would you want to see happen so that your loved one would come to know Jesus? Whatever that looks like to you, why don't you be part of the solution? Why don't you be part of the solution? Instead of sitting back and go, oh, they only have one volunteer in that room. Oh man, they need to get their act together. You could be part of the solution instead of pointing fingers at ones that are trying to do something. But so often, that's what we do, right? That is not what God has called you and I to do. See, the call to serve and the call to salvation is the exact same. So how do we respond to this? How do we respond to this call of service that God has called us to? Well, let me give you something. You can either do it on your app or on your card. On your card inside your program that you received, on the back side of it, it'll say here, serve at C3, and on the app you'll see a serve button as well. And here we've got about, I don't know, probably about eight things or so listed where places you can serve. But if there's something here that is not where you want to serve, at the bottom it says other. And you can put whatever other is, whatever you're interested in. You may say, Mark, I want to serve, but I don't know if I want to serve in the church. I want to serve at one of our partners out in the community. Then just write that down. I want to know the partners in the community so that I can see where to serve at. Whatever. We want to just get people involved to all of a sudden do what God's calling us to do. Will you answer his call? You can't just answer the call of salvation without also answering the call of serving as well. So here's what I want us to do real quick. If you have these cards, or if you're going to do it on your app, lift whichever one up. We're going to pray over these right now. Here we go. So Father, right now, we pray over this. And Lord, we're praying not because the church needs volunteers. We are praying because we as individuals, we need to volunteer. We need to get in the game. We're not to sit on the sidelines anymore. We need to get in the game. And Father, I thank you that you've called each and every one of us here today to your calling, to your service. And so, Lord, I pray that we will answer that call. Thank you that you could do it on your own, but you call us to be part of it. And we say thank you that you've invited us to be part of your mission. How humbling is that? So, Lord, we thank you. Help us, lead us, guide us to what areas we need to sign up for and to be part of. And may you help us as we step into serving. May we be fruitful and fulfilled. We say thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, here's what we're going to do in each of our venues. We're going to give you about 30 seconds to fill this out on your app or on your card. Ready? We're going to have a little mood music for you. Ready? Go. Very good, very good. Let's pray before we close. Father, right now, I pray for those that have signed those cards. I pray for those that have done it on the app. I pray that you would guide them to where you want them to be, where they can be fruitful and fulfilled. Thank you, Lord, for people taking their next step, people growing and being a part of the solution, being part of your mission. I'm so thankful for that. But Father, I also want to pause today. Because we talked about those who are here that are exploring Jesus. And Lord, I just pray for those that are doing that today. Lord, a simple message about serving. Something just spoke to their heart. And Jesus, you want to involve them in your mission as well. And so they realize that. They realize for that to happen, they have to come into relationship. So some today are doing that. They're bowing their heart and they're saying, God, forgive me. Jesus, I accept your forgiveness. I accept your relationship that you offer me. And I accept the call to serve. And I'm so thankful for that, Lord. Lord, I pray for those that are making that decision. Will you help them as they now step into that relationship with you, as they accept that forgiveness that you've done when you died on the cross and rose again for them? And will you also guide them in where they're to serve? And I thank you for those that are now coming into the family of God. We celebrate that every week here, and we say thank you. In your name we pray.